Hello. Our lesson today comes from the Epistle of James, chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. James says, "If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world." So, do you think you're religious? Do I think I'm religious? Well, of course, this is a good question, and it's prompted by what the writer James says here in this passage, if anyone thinks himself to be religious. And then he goes on to say that, unfortunately, some people's religion is worthless. These are strong words. And so, it's important to ask the question, well, what is pure religion? How do we know it's the real thing? And this is what James is discussing here in this great passage. Now, he uses the term religion in both of these verses, and it is a term that usually denotes external acts of one's religious faith, things like attending worship, praying, taking the Lord's Supper, and so forth. And of course, such acts are an important part of the life of a Christian. We need to be sure that our religion is not based merely on human tradition. James emphasizes in this text that true religion results from being doers of the Word and not just hearers. The problem often occurs when we begin to think that such things entirely fulfill one's spiritual obligation. This is when one thinks himself to be religious. To illustrate, James uses the example of the person who performs all these religious acts, but he does not keep his tongue under control. He's not slow to speak, as he says earlier in this chapter. And as he discusses in chapter 3, it's a failure that shows his spiritual immaturity. So, James says here that such a person, instead of congratulating himself on his piety and on his belief that he is truly a doer of the Word, he needs to know that he has deceived himself. And such outward acts end up being worthless if we think they fulfill our total obligation to God. So again, the question that we should ask is, well, what is pure religion? Well, James is setting out to answer this for us in this passage, where he says, this is pure and undefiled religion. And he answers this question, I think, in a very concise way to help us with how we should think of pure religion. There are three dimensions that I think that we can talk about briefly from this text. The first dimension is the upward dimension. Pure religion reaches upward, and this is brought to our attention when James says that pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this. It's in the sight of God. In God's sight means that all that we do is before God's watchful, all-seeing eye. We need to remember that we are standing in the presence of the Creator. So all that we do in life should be done to serve Him and to bring Him glory. So ultimately, only God can define pure religion. Only God can tell us what religion really looks like. Pure religion must originate with God. Earlier in this chapter, verse 17, James makes the observation that every good gift comes from God. And of course, we remember the encounter that Jesus had with some of the Jewish leaders in Matthew, the 21st chapter. The question that was raised is, by what authority? By what authority are you doing these things? And you remember that in that text, Jesus turns it back upon them to challenge the things that they do. And he puts it this way, is it from heaven or is it from men? You see, right doctrine and right practice and being in the right relationship, all of these things must be by divine authority. They must be by God's authority. And any religious beliefs or practices that do not originate from God surely cannot be called pure religion. So one of the lessons that we learn from this is that man's definition of religion is not always the same as God's. That's why James makes this important distinction here between a religion that's born of self-deception and ultimately is worthless, and a religion that is pure and undefiled. So the first dimension is the upward dimension. It is in the sight of our God and Father. But there's also what we might call the outward dimension. When he says to visit orphans and widows in their distress, this is reminding us that a pure religion is a religion that reaches outward. Pure religion is not just the observance of formal worship. It's not just performing religious acts or rituals. Pure religion must be active in the service of others, in the service of our fellow man. James gives the example of being sensitive to orphans and widows in their emotional or financial distress. That's just an example. But this was a frequent exhortation all through the Old Testament. So, for example, in Exodus chapter 22, verse 22, it says, "You shall not afflict any widow or orphan." Instead, like we read in Psalm 68, verse 5, we should strive to be like the Lord, who is described as a father of the fatherless and a judge for the widow. Of course, we know that James has more in mind here than helping orphans and widows. It goes beyond that. The prophets often condemned Israel in ancient times because of the empty, unbalanced nature of their religious life. Their worship and their sacrifices were ultimately unacceptable to God because they failed to practice righteousness and justice toward their fellow man. In Zechariah chapter 7, verse 9, the prophet says, "Dispense true justice and practice kindness each to his brother." And we remember the well-known statement that the prophet Micah makes in Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. So he asked the question, "With what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings, with yearling calves? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil?" Then he says, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." And of course, Jesus also emphasized this aspect of pure religion in the well-known judgment scene. You know, the scene where he describes the sheep and the goats separated on the right and on the left. And so to those on the right, the king will say, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And then he says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." And then he sums it up by saying, "To the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." So you see, pure religion looks outward. It looks to the needs and the weaknesses of others. And so you have this upward dimension of pure religion and this outward dimension of pure religion. But then James concludes his thoughts by reminding us that there is an inward dimension as well. When we think about pure religion reaches inward. He says it is to keep oneself unstained by the world. What is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the fact that true religion involves personal holiness and the avoidance of spiritual contamination from a sinful world. When he talks about the world in this passage, he's talking about the world order as a whole with its values and its practices that have fallen under the sway of the evil one. And as he says in chapter 4, friendship with the world is hostility toward God. So we strive to keep ourselves unstained by the world. So true religion, pure religion, as James is describing it here, he's really saying that it involves a living a sanctified life, a life that's based on moral and ethical principles of God's Word. And so, for example, it's like the Apostle Paul taught in Romans chapter 6, when he says, "Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts." He says then, "Present your members as instruments of righteousness to God." And he wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 with the reminder that you have been bought with a price. And so he says, "Therefore, glorify God in your body." What this means then ultimately is that our thoughts and our actions, all of these aspects of our conduct must be brought under subjection to the will of God if we're going to practice pure religion. Pure religion reaches inward, you see. But in conclusion then, maybe we should just pause and reflect and ask the question, well, what about us? What about me? What about you? How will the Lord judge our religion? Let's be sure that we are striving for a spiritual religious life that looks upward, outward, and inward, a religion that is pure and undefiled in God's sight.